this Krigler coffee is so good.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to my new studio. I have built myself what I think to be very, very nice. I love this. Welcome. How are you guys doing? Great to see you all. Thanks for joining me. I apologize for not showing up Friday. I forgot about the time differences. I thought it was 2 hours behind, but it turned out to be 3 hours behind. So I actually landed just before when I would have been able to go live on Friday. So I wasn't able to have a jam night. But anyway, welcome to my new studio. This is just something that I built. So while I'm here, I'm helping my mom with the house. I really like it a lot. I think it came together well. This is actually a screen print that I used to use when I painted the boards over at Buston Boards in New York City. I used to paint the boards and we used screen prints. So that's actually from mine. Anyway, yeah, that was really exciting when I found that. I found it in a dumpster, actually. But yeah, thank you for joining me. And again, I apologize for not showing up Friday night. I ended up hanging out with my mom the whole night because I haven't seen my mom in a long time. It's really good to be here hanging out with her. I see her in chat. I love you, Mom. It's great to hang out with you. It's very nice. So today we're going to be talking about Southwest Airlines. So for those who don't know, there was a huge discrepancy in their flights there. Over 2,000 flights got canceled. First it was 1,000, then it went up to 1,800. Now I believe it's like 2,200 flights got canceled yesterday and today. Now, they're claiming it's because of weather or some air traffic in Florida. But I think we all know that that's BS. So we're going to get into that. And then we are going to be discussing California. You know, I love making fun of Gavin Newsom because that man is absolutely just the worst. He is mandating that big box stores have non-binary toy aisles. That's right, non-binary toy aisles. I'm not sure exactly what those kind of toys look like, but we'll get into it. We're going to talk about it because, you know, he's doing that. And then I'm going to go back to what I love. You guys know this, science. We're going to talk about Enceladus, which is a moon out in our solar system, which I kind of talked about this before, but a new report came out and they're saying that they can't explain why it is the way it is. And it's kind of cool. We're going to talk about that. Before I do, I want to give a shout out to Wanderer. Okay, a lot of you might recognize this name, someone who's in chat. Wanderer, I don't know if you're actually here right now, but we had a contest last week with Frode the Krigler Coffee Monkey. All right, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, here is the contest. All right, and here's him chilling at Stonehenge, right? And that was the previous winner. Now we've chosen Wanderer Saris as the winner because he wrote Pyramids of Egypt. Of course, I love the Pyramids of Egypt. So we have officially given him the winning status as far as picking the next location for where Frode the Krigler Coffee Monkey is going next. So I'm really excited to see it. Bring the microphone up a little bit. Hold on. I could do that. Is that better? Now, keep in mind, I am in a new studio, so he's banning leaf blowers, too. No, he's banning gas motors. So leaf blowers and lawn mowers, all that kind of stuff. So binary. I don't know, actually. That's a good question. Binary. Now I'm forever going to do that. Anyway, so Frode is now officially going to go to the Pyramids of Egypt. I'm very excited about that. That's cool. My mom has actually hand-drawn each of these, or painted. And we're going to eventually do something with that. What that is going to be, we are not sure. But thank you for joining. Let's see, just before we get into it, you can check out my website, just adamkrigler.com. You can find me there. All my videos are posted, podcast RSS numbers also there. You can jump over to the coffee shop, which of course is kriglercoffee.com, which is some delicious coffee. If you don't know, we also have really dope mugs. This is the first run, which is the left-handed mug. Mm. I love that coffee. It is delicious. It's relatively fresh, actually. I made a fresher pot recently. Okay, before we even get into the subjects, this isn't subject worthy, but it is hilarious, okay? And you guys have to hear this. I have to play it for you, all right? For those who don't know, Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, they're pretty woke, okay? They're pretty woke, and they have made, Change the World, like World Ice Cream or whatever, for Colin Kaepernick. For some reason, he deserves an ice cream for whatever reason. I don't know how you feel about Colin Kaepernick. I don't really like the guy. I think he's a grifter and a half. Wasn't a very good player, and then found a new grift, and it worked. He got a Nike deal, now he's got his own ice cream, and Ben and Jerry's has fallen right in line with it. Well, they stopped selling ice cream to Israel because they didn't agree with their political policies. So when asked by this interviewer, I think her name is Alexi, she herself, I don't necessarily agree with either. She's got some controversy that, whatever, that's not really the important part. The important part is how brutal these questions are when she's asking the Ben and Jerry's guys. I guess it's Ben and Jerry. I'm not sure exactly who it is. But check this out. This is hilarious.
You guys are big proponents of voting rights. Why do you still sell ice cream in Georgia? Texas, abortion bans. Why are you still selling there?
I don't know.
Every time it gets me, it's so funny. I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? It's because you make money, because you sell a lot of ice cream probably there and you like the money. At least be honest, all right? The public isn't idiots, right? We're all aware that you like to make money. You're a businessman, all right? Trying to sell ice cream. You probably sell a lot of ice cream in Texas, That's Georgia. You sell what about their politics? Oh, it's because you make a lot of money there. Embarrassing. I for money, exactly. Chat's like, yeah, money. Duh. They like the monies. Yes. You guys are hilarious. I'm sure they didn't make much in way of selling their American ice cream over in Israel. Right? I mean, shipping fees and whatever. You probably got to sell a lot of ice cream there to even, like, break even. So I was cracking up, and I had to just show you guys because it was funny. I just thought it was hilarious. I don't know. He goes on to say, that's a very good question. But I'm not going to play any more of that. I just wanted to show you guys. It was funny. All right, first, let's talk about Southwest Airlines. Now, over the weekend, they had many cancellations in their Florida base. Well, at least it started in Florida. Now, they came out and said, actually, I have their tweet here. This is their tweet. Southwest Airlines, ATC issues and disruptive weather have resulted in a high volume of cancellation throughout the weekend while we work to recover our operation. We appreciate your patience as we accommodate affected customers, and customer service wait times are longer than usual. It continues on here. If your travels was affected, please explore self-service rebooking options by checking your flight status on southwest.com. Now, I saw that and I wasn't really paying attention. I've been building this studio all weekend, trying to get ready to continue my show. The show must go on. And, I wasn't really paying much attention. So I tweeted out yesterday. I said, what's going on with this Southwest Airlines thing? And so many people were commenting, all different sorts of conspiracy theories and reasons why they might think what was actually going on. And many of them actually seem to have turned out to be true. But before I get into that, I want to read this Reuters article because you know that they just got to push the narrative that Southwest is probably going along with. After mass cancellations, Southwest expects flights to normalize this week. So this is today, right? So this was written today. Let's see. On Monday, it expects to resume normal service this week after canceling more than 2,200 scheduled flights since Saturday, blaming unfavorable weather and air traffic issues in Florida. The airline canceled 1,124 flights, or 30% of its daily operation, on Sunday, and more than 800 trips on Saturday, according to the data from flight tracking platform FlightAware.com. The website also showed over 360 cancellations on Monday. Southwest Chief Operating Officer Mike Van de Ven said in a message to its employees late on Sunday that the sudden flight cancellation had caused staff shortages and may lead to a reduction in the number of flights the company can operate in November and December. Interesting. A sudden staff shortage, huh? Staff shortages. Southwest, whose shares fell more than 4.3%, did not give the number of cancellations, but said it was significant. While we work to stabilize our operations, we anticipate to resume normal service this week, the airline said in a reply to a tweet from a flyer asking about a canceled flight. Meanwhile, its pilots' union has denied speculation on social media that the cancellations were due to their action. The union said in a statement on Saturday that it was aware of operational difficulties, but its pilots were not participating in any official or unofficial job actions. Okay, I'm going to stop reading this article right here, because from what I've seen, every single thing out there points to this being the actual case. These pilots are actually being mandated to get the vaccine by December 14th. At least I believe it's either November or December 14th, one of those two. I'm not sure which month it is, actually, off the top of my head. But they have to get the vaccine to be able to continue being a pilot for Southwest. Okay, so that being said, now I've been seeing this all over the place. And I have a few different examples from different sources. This one was floating around Twitter. This is one of my friends. Quote, "I am in the airline industry. Yesterday, 668 Southwest airline flights had canceled by the time I went to bed. They're estimating 1,000 to 1,400 will be canceled today. Want to know why? They told their pilots and flight attendants that they had until November, so it's November 14th then, to get jabbed. So now they have to use all of their banked vacation and personal time or lose it. And off-duty crew are not picking up trips to cover. Jacksonville ATC walked out too. Milwaukee ATC is expected to follow today. There is no weather. Southwest just doesn't want to tell you the real reason why." They were claiming it was the weather. I hit up my friends who live in Florida. I said, "How's the weather in Florida? What's going on down there? Is there some sort of weird weather event that I don't know about?" And I got a picture of a blue sky. And I was told by another one, "It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful day." Why is everyone effing in the chat? Am I good? Am I back? Okay. Hopefully I'm good. I don't know what just happened there. But maybe I just pressed the wrong button. I might have pressed the wrong button, guys. My bad. New studio. Anyway, so continuing on. I think I just showed you the wrong screen. This is what I was trying to show you guys. This is from one source. Here's another source. This is actually from Robert Wiles, I believe, posted this over in my locals page. Non-airline friends, if you are booked on Southwest Airlines tomorrow or the next 3 days, you need to come up with a plan B. They canceled 700 flights today and are planning on canceling 1,400 flights tomorrow. Pilots are using their sick time before they are terminated on November 24th due to the mandate, the jab mandate. Many crews cannot get into their base. It's an unmitigated disaster for them. Pass on to any friends you know flying on Southwest Airlines. Be prepared. So, I mean, I'm seeing this all over the place, over and over and over again. You know what?
I've been an airline pilot for 18 years, and now I'm facing an ultimatum. Not a choice, but an ultimatum. I'm being told in order to continue my career as an airline pilot, I must be vaccinated, which really means I have to choose between putting food on the table for my family and my freedom of choice. Whether you believe in vaccination is the right thing to do or not, the situation goes far beyond health. We, the American people, have fought for freedom for 257 years. We go around the world spreading ideas of freedom and democracy. We help other countries and people fight for their freedoms, while ours are being stripped away. You may think being forced to wear a mask or get a vaccination is insignificant, but when you begin to compile mandate after mandate and loss of freedom after freedom, it becomes very significant. As each thing is taken away, we face what is known as the shifting baseline syndrome. This syndrome changes our idea of a new and acceptable normal. Soon, we will not remember what it was like to have the freedoms we once did. Our children and our grandchildren will experience less freedom, and they won't have the privilege or the pleasure to enjoy the same choices our parents had or that we have. If we give into these mandates and we do not stand up for our freedom of choice, we dishonor every armed service person over the last 257 years. A disservice to the people who have fought and bled for the very freedoms we enjoy. Whether you believe in vaccination or not, I'm standing up for your freedom of choice. You may support the vaccine mandates because they fall in line with your current beliefs. But if we let this happen now, there will be a day when what you're told to do will not fall in line with your beliefs. If we do not stand together and fight back in one voice, soon we could be told where to live, what job we will do, what religion to believe, and how many children we can have. Do you really want someone telling your children or your grandchildren what, when, and how they will live every minute of their lives? It's time we take a stance. It's time we fight for our freedom of choice while we still can.
So, seems like a pilot. Seems like he's some sort of a pilot. I would assume that he is a pilot for maybe Southwest or who knows. I hear American Airlines is having issues like this as well. Pilot or not, he's got a point. He's got a really good point. We give up a little bit now. We're going to give a little bit more. We're going to give a little bit more. And it's going to continue and continue and continue. I mean, and we're seeing this. This is someone who met with one of the Southwest pilots striking while asking for directions to a shuttle. Love that little American flag, which triggers so many people for some reason. It's an American, it's an amazing thing to love, the American flag. I don't see, there's nothing wrong with that. Even Amtrak, look at this. Trains 465 and 416 departing on 1010 are canceled due to unforeseen crew issues. Alternative transportation will be provided. Amtrak. So it's not just trains. Or excuse me, not just planes. It's trains also. It's transportation as a whole. This is the beginning. Now I'm going to give a shout out to Kristen Ruby. This is Kristen Ruby. She's been holding a lot of spaces over on Twitter. Now I tuned into one of her spaces yesterday. I just jumped in and she saw that I had joined and was like, hey, let's get Adam in here. And we started talking. And it was a really good conversation, but something that came up, right? We were talking about the Southwest Airlines strike. Was it a strike? What is exactly? Was it weather? One thing that came up that I really loved what she said is, look, if people are going to start, if it was a strike, right? If these pilots, which seemingly it is, that's what I've gathered, right? We cannot demonize them. We have to look at them as they're the first ones standing up against tyranny, right? We have to recognize that that's what they're doing. They're saying, no, enough is enough. Thank you. We have to salute them. We have to applaud these people, right? We have to deal with the consequences, which are you might be delayed. You might not be able to fly. There was actually someone in the chat that came and spoke that said, I am in O'Hare right now waiting to fly and we can't. They're not giving us any answers. They're not giving us any sort of time frame as to when we are going to be able to leave. And I said, you know, we got to remember those people too. Those people are also right in line with what we all got to do this together. I saw a tweet. I don't have it prepared or anything. Someone said, I'm in a city that I don't know. There's no cars to rent. All the hotels are booked because all the flights are canceled. I can't get out but I'm elated because I see that everyone is standing against tyranny. Thank you all. And I was like, that is the energy right there. We need that kind of power, that kind of energy being pushed into the air because, you know, yeah, we might be inconvenienced, but a little inconvenience now compared to losing all of our freedoms in the long run. I mean, you choose. Which would you rather have? I'd much rather be inconvenienced a little bit. I got lucky and I flew last week. I was over in Texas and now I'm here in Arizona hanging out with my mom. And, you know, I didn't have to worry about it. I flew American Airlines. I could have easily have flown Southwest. I could have easily have stayed the weekend and been stuck somewhere. And we got to recognize that we don't want to be angry at the pilots that are saying, we're not going to fly because you're forcing this on us, because you know that that's what they want. Now, Southwest is saying, every media outlet is saying the weather, freak weather event, it's, you know, due to weather and all this other things. It's like, no, it's not weather. How come all these pilots are standing up and saying, we're done, we're not going to be mandated? Or the fact that they're all taking their sick time all at the same time because there's a mandate coming up where they will lose their jobs by X date. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the latter. I think that's what I'm going to go with, right? So, I mean, here, this is from Sydney Watsia. I think she says it great here. I will support my life being inconvenienced if it means people are fighting back against these mandates. Go on strike. I'm here for it. Exactly. Thank you, Sydney. And I had the pleasure of meeting Sydney in person last week. She was great. I had a great time over on You Are Here with Elijah Schaefer and Sydney Watson. It was so much fun. I got to meet Sav and hang out in the slightly offensive office / studio, which was really cool. And I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. I hope you guys were able to watch it over on Blaze TV. I think it's on their YouTube. Either You Are Here, I did a live show on Thursday, and then The Slightly Offensive, which we did a show that premiered on Friday. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, oh, thanks everyone who's saying that you guys like my new studio. I really love it a lot. I'm very happy with it, right? It came together really well. And this thing I've had for 14 years. I actually used to print the boards at Buston Boards in New York. That's the name of this East Coast longboard company called Buston. And that was actually who I first got sponsored by, that then Arbor was able to see me and I started riding for Arbor after that. But that was actually used. I used to use that to paint skateboards. With that, I actually have like 3 or 4 of those things. It's pretty cool. A vintage screen print. It would be a pretty cool t-shirt, I think, right? Just a rising sun. Anyway, all right, so that was the whole flight situation. I'm gonna move on. I want to talk about, actually, I forgot I had this article. It's kind of the perfect segue into my next segment. But look at this. Many Southwest planes flying banners reading "Let's go Brandon." But Babylon Bee is actually where I'm going to start talking about my next segment, which is about California. This is, of course, satire. California bill prohibits stores from selling toys that don't actively confuse children's sexuality. Okay, now I start laughing, but because it's kind of sad. I mean, you see non-binary toys. Remember, this is satire. I'm going to read you some of this article because, I mean, Babylon Bee, they're funny, right? I really like Babylon Bee. I'm sure a lot of you know about Babylon Bee. All right, so I'm going to read this article to you. And, it's just going to make the next article I read so much worse, okay? California legislators have recently proposed a bill forcing department store owners to only sell toys that actively set out to confuse children on their sexuality and gender. The law will ensure no more anti-science boy aisles or girl aisles like the ones used in deplorable states. Now shoppers can search the entire store before finding the gender non-conforming toy that is right for them. In these critical and formative years of a child's development, they need to be exposed to confusing and downright bizarre depictions of other males and females, says Governor Gavin Newsom. The science is settled, and we all know that children are in no way impressionable or disproportionately influenced by the toys they see. All right, I have to stop because some people might think that I'm thinking this is real. That was satire. That was Babylon Bee satire. It's not real. Or maybe it just came true. Okay, wait. Hold on. Let me go back. This one is from February 28th, 2020. Okay, so that satire article was from February 2020. Enter 2021. California mandates gender-neutral toy aisles for large retailers. I kid you not, it's coming true. Yet again, Babylon Bee, how do you do it? I don't understand. Libs of TikTok, thanks for showing me this because they are great. And they posted this and I just thought, I gotta make fun of this because this is happening over and over and over again. Anyway, check this out. So this is from Axios. California mandates gender-neutral toy aisles for large retailers. Gavin Newsom signed into law Saturday a bill requiring large retailers to provide gender-neutral toy sections, per the Los Angeles Times. Oh, great. Love the Los Angeles Times. I do not. I don't even like saying it as a joke. I cannot stand the LA Times. Why it matters. It does not matter. This is ridiculous. California is the first state to adopt such a law. LGBTQ advocates have pointed out that marketing methods using pink and blue hues pressure children to conform to gender stereotypes. Oh my God. Oh, geez. Oh, I'm so over this. This conversation. Look. Why don't we just dissolve stereotypes completely? They suck. Stereotyping people is always a bad idea. Can we just stop stereotyping people? Look, if you're not a masculine man, that's okay. If you're a masculine woman, that's okay. You're still a woman. You don't have to conform to this traditional masculine man and feminine woman, right? I mean, stereotyping always is... I don't want to say always, but for the most part, is rude, and you're judging a book before, you know, reading or judging the cover before reading the book, right? You're just like, oh, you're this race, you're this. I don't know what else people stereotype. Where you're from? You're from some small country that is known for doing certain things. You know, all Brits have bad teeth, or, you know, the whatever stereotypes that are traditional that we've heard before. So what, you think all Brits all have bad teeth? No, of course not. Is it true? I actually don't know. I've actually never been to Britain. I would love to go, actually. Maybe I'll be there one day. But anyway, back to this. Consumer Federation of California supported the law, saying keeping similar items that are traditionally marketed for either girls or for boys separated makes it more difficult for the consumer to compare the products and incorrectly implies that their use by one gender is inappropriate. Okay, how do I even start? What do I even say here? Look. Jeez. We've been around a long time. We meaning human beings. Now, insignificant in the span of the universe or even Earth. But even our society that we know and love, which really is like post-industrial revolution, maybe only the past like 20 years, the advent of the internet, how our lives have changed. Studies and marketing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it kind of works where boys like specific things and girls like specific things as well. There's a reason for these things. Look, if you don't conform, if you have a child, say you have a daughter that likes shooting Nerf guns and goes into the Nerf gun aisle, There's nothing wrong with that. There's, okay, you gotta let them be what they want to be, but when, I don't understand why they need to force this ideology into everyone's world. I mean, we are already seeing a gender neutral color stuff coming out, which, to be honest, there's nothing wrong with liking blue if you're a girl or liking pink if you're a guy. I think it's so stupid that they have, again, they're falling into these stereotypes. They're the ones that are really like pushing it. Look, I don't care if you're a feminine anything or a masculine anything. Like, that's fine. Just don't mess with the kids, man. That is like my number one thing. When you start forcing your ideology into kids, we have issues. All right? I don't like that. You need to let them have childhoods. Let them walk through the toy aisles and go, I like that. I like that. I mean, you never know. Or really, they should just be going into a forest and building stuff in the mud. Right? Toys. Why did we get so, I don't know, hooked on toys? I don't know. I guess I'm from a different era of life before the internet. I mean, I'm in my late 30s, 37. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't have an iPad, right? I didn't have a phone. I didn't get a phone until I was 17. I'm sure they existed, but I just didn't get one. It just didn't exist for me. I was rollerblading and running in the woods with my friends, building dams in the river that I happened to be lucky to live by. I don't know. This whole bill, let's see, the bill, which will take effect in 2024, overcame opposition from Republicans and conservative groups, what a surprise, who said it was government overreach. The law states that retail stores with 500 or more workers must sell toys, pardon me, and childcare products, excluding clothes, in a gender-neutral section that's labeled at the discretion of the retailer, regardless of whether they have been traditionally marketed for either girls or for boys. Retailers can continue to offer other toys and childcare goods that are traditionally marketed specifically towards girls or boys. Companies that fail to comply with the new law could face a civil penalty of $250 for the first... That's it. $250. Cool. And then $500 for anything else. I mean, this is just... Okay, I'm going to bring up what that pilot said earlier. Right? You give 1 inch, they want 2 inches. You give 2 inches, they want 3 inches then. They want a foot now. All right, fine, we'll give them a foot. It's not that, you know, I still got my whole backyard. Well, you know what, let me get 2 feet now. And then we're gonna continue moving the goalposts over and over and over until suddenly you have no more rights. The government controls your children. Gavin Newsom made it legal for kids to have gender affirming surgery without their parents' consent or knowledge at all. Okay? I have a serious issue with Gavin Newsom. I don't swear in my show, but I really want to. I really want to flick Gavin Newsom off and you guys know what I'm trying to say here. All right? F Gavin Newsom. Hey, Gavin. F you. All right, I'm sorry, that's the little extent. But we can't keep giving into these minorities. I mean minorities meaning not like people of color or that kind of minorities. I'm talking about the screeching, like, liberals minority, because that's really what it is. To me, I think the majority of Americans want their children to be children, to discover who they are as they grow up, right? And it's up to the parents to talk to their kids, which is how it should be. I can't wait to be a dad. I can't wait to teach what I know to my children. And I will. I cannot wait for that. But I'm not going to have someone shoving what they believe into my kids' ears, right? Letting them influence them. I mean, granted, everything influences everyone, right? I'm influenced by everything around me. So are you. Everyone is, right? It just kind of happens. There's going to be friends of kids that are going to be a-holes that just are bullies and whatever. You know, it could happen. Anything along those lines. But there needs to be a line in the sand, and I feel like California keeps stepping over that line and drawing another line, and stepping over that line and drawing another line. And California is a scary place. I feel for my friends in California. Shout out to my homies that are in California. And goodness, I cannot stand Gavin Newsom. Stop messing with the kids. Please. Please stop messing with the kids. All right, let's move on. It's non-binary ridiculous and silliness. All right, so now we're going to be talking about Enceladus. Enceladus, I don't know how you... that sounds like a salad in Spanish. So I call it Enceladus. But it's pretty cool. I've actually talked about this before. And I was reading this and I was like, this is pretty cool. I love space stuff. And let's get into it. Mysterious levels of methane on Enceladus not explainable with known geochemical processes. We recently devoted an article on Jupiter's four largest moons explaining why are they among the most exciting worlds of our solar system. Jupiter has some steep competition from Saturn in this area, though, and one of them has just got a lot more interesting. We're talking about Saturn's sixth largest moon, Enceladus, a mysterious process hidden in a potential subsurface ocean deep underneath its icy shell, produces lots of methane that cannot be accounted for with known geochemical processes. So is some form of life responsible for all this methane? According to a new study published in Nature, it cannot be ruled out. And here, of course, is a picture of Enceladus. Being one of Saturn's 82 moons, it isn't easy to stand out. Not so for Enceladus, though. Not only is it almost entirely covered with fresh, clean ice, making it one of the most reflective bodies in the entire solar system, it also produces giant water plumes containing methane with a mysterious origin. In recent decades, studies have shown that beneath the icy surface of the seemingly inhospitable moon, there is an ocean in which contains conditions may be favorable for the emergence and maintenance of life. Obviously, this potential subsurface ocean has caught the attention of many researchers. Now, this is what I've talked about before. Do they really exist? And if they do, wouldn't it make sense that we could assume that there could be some sort of life down there? We don't really know. One of the main instruments astronomers have at their disposal to study Enceladus is the Cassini spacecraft. On a mission where it flew through the moon's vast water plumes, sampling their chemical makeup, it identified a relatively high concentration of specific molecules associated with hydrothermal vents at the bottom of Earth's oceans, respectively, dihydrogen, methane, and carbon dioxide. The quantity of methane detected in the plumes was unexpected. Associate Professor Regis Ferrer of the University of Arizona and one of the lead authors of this study, recent study stated in a press release that he and his team were determined to find out if Earth-like microbes known to consume dihydrogen and produce methane could be responsible for the identified methane spikes. According to Ferrer, it would require highly challenging deep dive missions to search for such microbes known as methanogens. Missions like that are, sadly, not in sight for several decades and would have to overcome many challenges. So Ferrer and his colleagues decided on taking a different route within our current capabilities. The team constructed mathematical models to calculate the probability that different processes, including methanogenesis, might explain the Cassini data. They implemented new mathematical models that consolidate microbial ecology and geochemistry to investigate Cassini plume data and model the potential processes that would best explain the observations. The scientists concluded that Cassini's data are consistent with microbial hydrothermal vent activity and processes that don't require life forms, but are distinct from those known to transpire here on Earth. Okay, so at the time when I discussed this last time, because I did actually cover a lot of this stuff, they didn't prove that. So now they're concluding that Cassini's data is consistent with the microbial hydrothermal vents. So I actually talked about that, saying it makes sense that there are these vents down at the bottom, but now they're saying there's no other explanation. Now, there's amazing bacteria and shrimps and life that lives and feeds and gets its energy from these vents down at the bottom of our oceans, not from the sun, but from the vent itself. So it's safe to assume that there is life living in these subsurface oceans in Enceladus. Methane can be produced through so-called hydrothermal activity on our planet, but only at a very slow rate. The majority of methane produced on Earth is generated with the help of microorganisms that utilize the chemical disequilibrium of hydrothermally produced dihydrogen as a source of energy. Methane is then produced from carbon dioxide in a process called methanogenesis. The team looked at Enceladus plume composition at the end result of several chemical and physical processes taking place in the moon interior. Now, here is an image from Cassini showing these plumes. You can see them there. First, the researchers estimated what hydrothermal production of dihydrogen would best fit Cassini's observations, and if this production could produce enough food to support a population of Earth-like hydrogenotropic methanogens. To do that, they constructed a model for the population dynamics of a theoretical hydrogenotropic methanogen. Oh, tongue twisters. Whose thermal and energetic niche was modeled after familiar strains we encounter here on Earth. Subsequently, the authors ran their model to discern whether an assigned set of chemical conditions, such as the dihydrogen concentration in the hydrothermal fluid and temperatures or temperature that would provide an appropriate environment for these microbes to thrive. The team also studied what impact a theoretical microbe population would have on its surroundings, for example, on the escape rates of dihydrogen and methane in the plume. All in all, not only could the researchers assess whether Cassini's measurements are agreeable with the environment suited for life, but they could also make quantitative predictions about observations to be expected, such as methogenesis actually happening at the floor of Enceladus subsurface oceans. The results suggest that even the highest possible estimate of abiotic methane production or methane production without biological aid based on known hydrothermal chemistry is far from sufficient to explain the methane concentration measured in the plumes. Adding biological methogenesis to the mix, however, could produce enough methane to match Cassini's observations. Here's a quote from Ferrer. Obviously, we are not concluding that life exists in Enceladus' oceans. Rather, we want to understand how likely it would be that Enceladus hydrothermal vents could be habitable to Earth-like microorganisms. Very likely, the Cassini data tell us, according to our models. The biological methogenesis appears to be compatible with the data. In other words, we can't discard a life hypothesis as highly improbable. To reject the life hypothesis, we need more data from future missions. Now, I know for previous research that they don't have anything set in stone, but they are, of course, pushing for this because I personally would love to know. I can't wait to find out. I believe personally that there is hydrothermal vents down at the bottom, and with this new data saying that just the hydrothermal vents wouldn't be enough to produce the amount of methane that we're seeing from the Cassini data. So something's going and something's producing this methane, which is it is a natural occurring gas, but in high quantities it tends to be from biological life, which is just exciting stuff. I can't wait to prove or to see proof that life exists outside of our little blue dot. All right, so that is my show. Let's get into the super chats. You guys know the deal. Let me pop up the super chats. I saw some disappear before I even started. I saw someone that actually, somebody said they were six months into being a member. If you do a member message, because I guess every month you get a free message to say something, it disappears if you do it before the show starts, and I don't even see it in my super chat monetization area that I can go back and check super chats. So apologies, that one absolutely disappeared. But first we got Robert Wiles saying, I hope this makes Betty and Diana Francisco smile. Hey Adam, I hope you saw the pic I shared of Swampy Politics. He is that guy who does the 2A. I've been really busy building the studio, and I've been like running back and forth getting specific stuff. I actually got a new camera. I love this camera. This is the one that I've actually was using for a long time. At the beginning of my solo YouTube career, I went out and got the same camera because it's fantastic. I was using I don't know where my little camera is, but I was using a little tiny, Logitech something, Brio. It was nice, but I couldn't zoom in. I couldn't get a nice depth of feel. And I feel like this is much better. But I will definitely get into it. Robert Shaw says the lockdowns are over here now. Whoop whoop. Oh wait, only if you are double redacted. If not, you can't go into any shop, or that shop gets fined. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, Robert Shaw. Hey, you know what? I also want to say thanks, all of you guys. Robert Shaw, I saw you there. Robert Wiles, I saw you there. The people who were super chatting when I was on You Are Here, thank you so much. That was so cool to see my chat show up for me. I mean, that's what you guys do. You guys show up for me, and I feel it. I feel it right in the heart. Right, you know, it really hits. Robert Shaw says we even have a shortage of air fuel oil filters. Wow. Interesting. Let's see. Jonathan says, I dig the studio. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Mark G says, we demand the Krigler Mother Show because she's the best guest. She is fantastic. I might figure something out to have a guest on the show. It'd be cool to have her join up. Robert Shaw says, sound only in the left ear. I'm pretty sure I figured that out. Thank you so much. Minion says, much love, but still waiting to see you shred some electric guitar. Yes, the electric is going to have to wait for a little while because I'm going to be jamming on a... This is my classical guitar, for those who don't... This is not a $100 thing. This is actually a really nice Yamaha... What is it? CGX. Really beautiful classical guitar. It's actually missing a knob. I gotta get that fixed, but anyway, I'll be jamming on that thing. All right, let's see, where was I? Mark G says non-binary toys, so hexadecimal toys. There you go, math jokes. Robert Shaw says our son is non-binary. Binary. I do say binary, huh? Someone popped the bubble earlier in chat, and now I'm like, I'm gonna hear that every time I do it. Non-binary. Chef du jour, hey, good to see you. Says, hi, Adam. My theory is that aliens came to Earth, body snatched most of California. What is left are alien pod people. This would explain the insanity. You know what? At this point, I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, Chef. Wow. I was recently in Texas and I was looking out for the Buc-ee's because you got me those delicious like Buc-ee caramel pops. They were delicious. Robert Shaw says, time to get your own plane, I think. Yeah, maybe. Robert Shaw says, new studio equals back to the basics. I mean, I feel like I've evolved. I feel like I've come to a new era of building my studios. Now I have really nice studios wherever I go. Well, my dad's is kind of, I kind of threw it together, but I did spend the weekend building this studio up, which I really like. I think it came together really well. Mark G says, the wrong screen wasn't shared. The Krigler Show just had asymptomatic technical discrepancies. Oh yeah, since it's a new computer, I actually built a new computer as well. I was on a laptop for a while, but I was like, you know what? I need to just get on an actual computer. So I had to redo my Stream Deck. You know, I have my little buttons here to, you know, pick and choose which ones I'm focused on, you know, over here and whatnot and all that good stuff. But I was used to a certain way, and that's what I was unconsciously just doing it And now, so I swap them actually. So now it's the way that my brain wants to do that. So it should be good now. Arthur with a $10 super chat says, "Hey Adam, long time no see. Glad to be back. Thank you for super chatting. And it's great to see you again. Thank you very much." All right, good to see you. Rob Shaw says, "No planes, no trains, no ships. It's economic collapse." There you go. Dominizzi says, "Krigler." That's my name. Jason Dixon says, gigawatt tokens, .com, 100% green energy. Cool. Sejong says, "Dang it, Adam, this is my job, not yours. Get your own place, play space. Baby is how I, what is that even, spurt, my girt, bro? Wait, what were we talking about? I don't know, that's funny though. Mavis says, let's go Newsom. You're rooting on Newsom? Chef de jour, as a kid, I wanted to live in California. When I visited LA and San Francisco, I realized how much I love Texas. So glad I never moved there." Good, you really dodged a bullet there, didn't you? Jason Dixon says, "Let's go, Brandon. Gigawatttokens.com. All right, what is gigawatt tokens? Oh, obviously some cryptocurrency. Allison C says, "Woke is gender stereotypes are bad. Get rid of them. Also woke, you like pink, but you're a boy? Surprise, you're actually a girl." Yeah. they don't make sense, though. They don't follow logic, which is rather frustrating, to be honest. Amos saying, "So Enceladus is the home world of I be ripping them?" Hey! I like that. Yes. Yes, I'm just going to speak for IB Ripidum. Yes, they have come from Enceladus. Sticky Icky Ricky says, "Real men like the pink. Betas like the stink." Funny. My goodness, I wasn't expecting that. Ian Hall says, "We must stop the cows polluting Cassini's atmosphere with methane. We have 6 years before it's uninhabitable." AOC, most likely, or maybe Greta. Yeah, hilarious. Boxer Tales celebrating 11 months of membership. Thank you for that 11 months. That's amazing. Adam, thank you for speaking the truth. God bless you and your family. Thank you for those kind words. The Farm Geneer with a $25 super chat. Wow, what's good, man? Thank you, Alex. I appreciate that. Nice studio, bro. It looks really good. The show is getting better and better. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. He is going to be actually joining me this week. We're going to be talking about food inflation. The whole ships are stuck out in the ocean. I believe, are we doing that tomorrow? I think we're doing that tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the rising price of food over the years, why it's getting more expensive, what's going on with those shipping containers that are out in sea that are just waiting to come in. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. Fantastic Mr. Knox says, "Liking the new studio. Missed half your show, but didn't miss out in the space stuff. Can't say it enough. I redacted. Love space." Me too. I love that stuff. Robert Shaw says, "You were on the hot seat on Fur Day and revealed some things." Oh, on Thursday. Okay. But and you revealed some things, but we are here for you, Adam. This chat is here for you. We appreciate you so much. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Robert Shaw. That was actually not really in line with your normal super chats. You usually are, you know, making fun of something or you know, making jokes up. But that was actually a really nice thing to say. Thank you so much. And I was in the hot seat. I'll be honest. I wasn't expecting them to ask me so much about Tim. They kept asking, you know, we were talking about what happened with the Timcast IRL show. I mean, I guess people really want to know. I met Elijah Schaefer in Jersey long before I was fired from the Timcast IRL show. And so he knew me from being the co-host. And, you know, I don't talk about it myself. You know, I'm not going to do segments on talking about what happened. I just feel like that's so living in the past. But they were talking and they were asking some hard questions, and I did reveal things that I have never said before. So if you guys did miss that, you can check it out over on You Are Here, my interview over on last week on Thursday when I joined them on in studio. Let's see. Mark Robershaw says, "Non-binary is worse than non-binary." Yes, I agree. I agree. Sticky Icky Ricky says, Shiba Inu is soaring to the moon. I added that to the moon part, but Sejong said, is it that hard to figure out Babylon B? For some people, yes. I feel like some people think it's real. I don't know. Oh, Diana's in chat saying that I handled it well. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that. And thanks for tuning in, Diana. I appreciate that. And all you, anyone who came over to join me and watch me over on You Are Here. Leanne, I think you're right. She definitely kept pushing it and trying to. I mean, it was a good show. I can handle myself, you know. I can handle being, you know, pushed into trying to answer questions, because, you know, in the long run, I'm not gonna say what happened. It's not gonna happen. Gio says we are being exterminated. It's hard to find it funny. I don't know exactly who we are in that situation, but sounds terrible. The Magnum Express celebrating 6 months says, dang, 6 months already? Not sure what to say. You're going to see No Time to Die? I did this weekend and I'm kind of mixed about how it was. Am I going to see No Time to Die? I don't know. It feels like the newer Bond movies are moving away from being what a Bond movie was. Like the Pierce Brosnan Bond movies were so classically Bond styles. Casino Royale was really cool. It was like a good mix between old school Bond and like this new movie template. It just felt like, I don't know, the longer Daniel Craig went on into being Bond, it was, I don't know, you know, it moved away from like Bond movies and just was like an action film that it's featuring Daniel Craig. So I guess I'll watch it eventually. I don't know. I'm not really excited about it though. Let's see. Sejong says, don't go away too fast. We got more to talk about. Okay. All right. I feel like I just missed a super chat somewhere. Hold on. Ian Hall says, oh my gosh, the bird drones are posting. See message from Geo. I'm not going to search chat. I can't see him right now. But Mark Robershaw says, I've been betrayed before, so I know, man. I know. I swear I saw some super chats that just disappeared. Let's see. Mavis says, not cheering Newsom on. Let's go now equals the F word so you don't have to swear. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Newsom. Okay. I didn't make that connection. I like that. I see what you were saying, Mavis. All right. Yeah. Just say, let's go Newsom, and we'll know what you mean. Right. I did say, I think that we need to just continue saying F Joe Biden and not let the message be lost. Okay? Because we're actually not cheering on Brandon. Sorry, all those Brandons out there that are feeling their egos, you know, fluffed up a little bit. Sejong with a $50 super chat. Wow. $50. Wow. First off, you need to slow the F down when you read super chats. I mean, sometimes they're BS, but whatever. Build a filter. Secondly, bro, do enunciate. It helps a lot. Don't Bidenate my super chats. Also, 22 until none. Do I Bidenate? Are you seriously saying that I do that? I do not Bidenate my super chats. How dare you, sir? How dare you? I am offended. And I don't have a dice. No, I'm sorry. I actually do not have anything. All right, so you know what? We're just going to do this old school. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 20. Okay. The number has been chosen in my brain. I can't prove to you that it's the number, but he's giving away a super chat. Or a bag of coffee. I kind of do sometimes. okay. Anyway, I'm thinking of a number. Good luck, guys. This is for an actual bag of coffee brought to you by Sejong the Great, who just said that I Bidenate, which is just insulting. But that's okay. Vanessa Stuller, right off the bat, it is 17. I was thinking of 17. My favorite number is 7. Now, before you go, oh, that's whatever, I was born on the 7th, and I'm luckier than most people I've ever met in my life. I'm telling you, I'm one lucky guy. Ask anyone that knows me. I'm very, very lucky with the way that my life works out. But congratulations, Vanessa Stuller. You just won a bag of Commodore's Reserve. Do me a favor and email me over at thekriglershow@gmail.com and give us your address, and we are going to send you a bag of coffee. If you're not interested in the Commodore's Reserve, you can go and pick a bag of your choice. If you're not interested in that specific blend, you can try it something different. I didn't have a dice game to play, guys. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to actually roll the die. But I will be... Hold on, let me... There we go. I just want to make a note. Okay. Brain audit. How are you guys going to audit my brain? Not possible. Sejong, thank you very much, though. I appreciate it. And I'm going to attempt to not Bidenate your super chats. Ian Hall says, okay, guys, the thing that happened, Tim saw Space Jesus's swing schwang and got intimidated. We like you better than the waste of air mouth breather. Okay, that's a brutal super chat. Oof. Ian, my goodness. I don't think that happened. We did make jokes about him sneaking into my bedroom at night in the show. We were joking about it a long time ago on the Tim Castorello show. And I was like, I'm going to make sure I lock my door. Man, we had fun on that show, didn't we? Anyway, Deadpool says, I would like to thank chat for being very loving. They have gotten through this hard time. Spin it 16. I don't have the UFO, and I also do not have a dice. I will remedy that next time. I'll have a dice. So I'll have the dice here, but it's somewhere in my suitcase in the other room. I'll make sure I'll have it for tomorrow's show. But the UFO, sadly, is at my other house. Robert Shaw says, keep it peaceful, please. Too much hate already. Is there hate going on in chat? I don't even know what's happening. You guys are crazy. Did Adam? Where did Tim get the UFO? Broken Prophet asks. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. Probably an Instagram ad. I made fun of him a lot for buying nearly everything that was thrown his way on the the Instagram ads. Benjamin says it was me on the 6th month before you were live, but hey, I felt like shooting you a little more tonight. Love the show. Love you, chat. People. Oh, thank you, Benjamin. Yeah, thank you. So thank you for supporting me the 6 months. I appreciate that. And then, of course, thank you for those kind words. Adam says, Tim Pool gets... dude, I can't say that. That's... Dude, no. I'm sorry. Nope. I read all my super chats, but when you put stuff like that, I can't read that. Come on. Mark Robichaud says, I am the Bidenator. You will be Bidenated. Ian Hall says, hashtag rigged. Sejong, brain audit in full swing now. Haha, oof. And now I do have some questions about Ian. This is the best chat ever. Shouts to the MVPs, and you call them. Well, do you have questions? You didn't even answer or ask a question. Let's see. Mark Robichaud says, the other show has a UFO now. Does it really? No, they don't. I don't watch that show, so whatevs. Robert Shaw says, but you spin it better than CNN. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Jason Dixon says, Adam, we spoke about Gigawatt Token Wednesday, 100% green energy for the mining of Bitcoins. I wanted you to have the creator as a guest. Oh, yeah. Did you? I asked you to hit me up on Locals to talk about it. I've been very busy over the past week building my studio. I was in Texas joining some podcasts over there, traveling and hanging out with my family as well. I went and saw my nephew play football on Saturday. That was really cool. I got to meet my niece and nephew. They're twins that my sister had. They're 6 months old already and they're adorable. So is it an actual, are you actually in a cabin or is that a green screen? No, this is actual wood. There's no green screen. I built the studio over the weekend. Bobcat celebrating 6 months says still working on the book. Would you do a deep dive into the Bronze Age collapse? I think people would like to see how far down we can rebuild from. Cool. I would like to dig into that. I love thinking about ancient civilization, ancient humans, and really that we think that we are such in the prime of human civilization, which I don't know if that's the truth or not, right? I think that Tesla unlocked something that I believe the ancient Egyptians unlocked and used. You know, Earth is a battery, and they use the natural current of electricity that runs rampant in our bodies and in our Earth. I don't know. It's pretty cool. So thank you all so much. Oh, we got one from Mao DeMind. He says, don't Google Tim Pool. Ian Rule 34. That's terrible. Goodness sakes. Use Brave Search. No, don't even look that up. Oh my gosh. Come on. Really? Are you serious? Dave Malton says, would you trade your UFO for the domain name thekriglershow.com? Maricopa County Chamber is holding it for you. No, I'm not trading that UFO for anything. Not at all. I don't even need thekriglershow.com. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. But anyway, that is my show today, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, Sejong says, glad to see so many more purple subs. Thank you all so much for all that. You guys are fantastic. Sticky Icky Ricky says, where can I send you something for your studio? P.O. Box is coming soon. Okay, I'm out, guys. Thank you for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. Please smash that like button on your way out, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Same time, 6:30 Eastern Time, here on The Krigler Show. Good night, everybody. Please smash the like button for The Krigler Show, coming to you live Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern Time.